The gymnosperms, a diverse group of plants, are most familiar to us as the cone-bearing, needle-leafed trees of pine, fir, and spruce. However, many gymnosperms bear little resemblance to these trees. There are four classes of gymnosperms: the cycadophyta, the gingophyta, the coniferophyta, and the netophyta. The cycadophyta, or cycads, are a very old group of plants. They have large palm-like leaves, short barrel-shaped trunks, and huge cones. Mainly tropical or subtropical in distribution, they are also grown as ornamental plants in greenhouses or outside in warmer climates. The gingophyta, a small group of plants, consists of a single species, ginkgo, a broad-leaved tree with a tall, stately trunk. Although considered a living fossil, it is often grown as a shade tree along city streets. The coniferophyta, or conifers, are the largest class of gymnosperms and those most familiar to us. They include the pines, firs, spruces, cedars, and redwoods. The coniferophyta contains the largest and oldest of living organisms. The fourth class of gymnosperms, the netophyta, is a collection of strange plants that includes a desert shrub, a plant with only two leaves, and a tree that looks like an angiosperm. We will discuss these later. Before we look at any of these classes in detail, let's first examine their mode of reproduction, for this is what distinguishes them from the other members of the plant kingdom. The gymnosperms, like the ferns and other vascular plants, produce spores through meiosis, but these are heterospores. Heterospores come in two sizes, microspores and megaspores. In the largest classes of living gymnosperms, the cycads and conifers, the reproductive structures are contained in cones. The male cones consist of a collection of highly specialized structures on which microsporangia develop. Within these, microspore mother cells, or microsporocytes, differentiate and undergo meiosis to form four haploid microspores. The nucleus of the microspore divides, and a small male gametophyte of only two cells forms. This is the pollen grain. Male cones form in clusters and are short-lived, persisting for only a matter of weeks. Masses of pollen are produced and may color the forest yellow when released in the spring. In contrast, the female cones of many species are large, persistent structures that last for months or years. The female cones also consist of a group of highly specialized structures on which megasporangia develop. A megasporangium consists of a megaspore mother cell, or megasporocyte, surrounded by a mass of tissue called the nucellus. This is enveloped by another tissue, the integument. There is an opening in the integument called the micropyle. The megaspore mother cell undergoes meiosis to form four haploid megaspores. Three of these degenerate, leaving a single megaspore. The nucleus of the surviving megaspore divides mitotically, producing a multinucleate megagametophyte. Cell walls eventually form and several archegonia differentiate, each consisting of an enlarged egg cell and two or four neck cells. Pollen is carried by the wind to the female cone, where it filters down to the micropyles. There is frequently a drop of sticky fluid, a pollination drop, to which the pollen adheres. As this drop dries, it pulls pollen grains to the surface of the nucellus. The pollen germinates and produces a tube that grows slowly through the nucellus, drawing nutrients from the female tissues. During this development, the cells of the pollen tube divide, and eventually two, occasionally more, sperm form. In the cycads and ginkgos, the sperm are multiflagellate, while in the conifers, they lack flagella and are non-motile. In the cycads and ginkgo, the pollen tube discharges into a cavity that forms immediately above the archegonia. The sperms swim to the eggs and fuse with them. In conifers, the pollen tubes grow directly to the eggs and discharge the sperms into them. One of the sperm nuclei fuses with the egg nucleus, forming the zygote. Since several eggs can differentiate in each megagametophyte, more than one embryo often arises, but only one survives in the mature seed. The seed in the gymnosperms has a resistant outer coat formed from the female sporophyte. The coat surrounds the remains of the female gametophyte, which may be extensive and serves as a food source for the seedling. The female gametophyte, in turn, encompasses the new sporophyte, the embryo. This mode of reproduction has tremendous adaptive significance to life on land. First, the gametophyte now draws on the resources of the mature sporophyte for nutrition and protection. In ferns and lower vascular plants, the gametophyte relies on its own structures and production for survival and reproduction. Such gametophytes are small and produce relatively few sporophytes per plant. However, in gymnosperms, the sporophyte may be a huge tree with great photosynthetic capacity and enough surplus carbohydrates to supply the requirements of hundreds of thousands of gametophytes. While each gametophyte produces only a single seed, each tree produces thousands of seeds per year, year after year. Second, liquid water is no longer necessary for fertilization. In the species with motile sperms, the sperms swim in a special chamber in fluid supplied by the sporophyte, not in free rain or groundwater. This makes a plant free of one of the most difficult of all environmental factors to control, the availability of free water. Third, the major reproductive agent is now the seed. The seed contains a small addition of the sporophyte and a built-in food source. Enough food is present to ensure the sporophyte a chance to establish itself and become self-sufficient. In addition, a protective outer covering, the seed coat, surrounds the seed. The seed coat helps protect the young sporophyte from adverse environmental conditions. The seed coat may also be modified into a wing that aids in the dispersal of the seed. Now, let's look at representatives of the four classes of gymnosperms, starting with the cycads. When the dinosaurs ruled the Earth in the Triassic and Cretaceous periods of the Mesozoic era, the cycads were common. The cycads and the dinosaurs reached their maximum development at the same time, and although the cycads did not become totally extinct, as did the dinosaurs, they decreased in importance in the Cenozoic era. Today, living cycads number only 9 genera and roughly 100 species, all confined to the subtropics and tropics. Cycads look striking. They have large, attractive, palm-like leaves that may be 1 to 2 meters long. The stems are usually barrel-shaped, but may in some species reach a height of 10 to 20 meters. Cycads grow extremely slowly. One plant some 2 meters tall was calculated to be at least 1,000 years old. The reproductive cycle of cycads closely follows the general pattern we discussed earlier. The female and male structures are born on separate plants. All cycad species, with one exception, form a tightly organized female cone. The female cone in some species is huge, weighing 25 to 35 kilograms. The male cones are smaller. The sperms are multiflagellate and large. Some can even be seen with the naked eye. Usually 3 to 4 months elapse between pollination and fertilization, and it may take a year for the seed to mature. Before turning to the conifers, let's look at two groups of extinct gymnosperms, the pteridosperms, or seed ferns, and the Benetitales. The seed ferns had large frond-like leaves that bore seeds and pollen-producing organs. The seeds resemble those of the modern cycads. The plants were not large. The tallest stood 5 meters, and others were considerably smaller. Seed ferns were abundant during the Carboniferous and became extinct during the Cretaceous. The Benetitales are an extinct order of the cycads, which they resemble in form and size. They evolved during the late Carboniferous, reached their peak of development in the Jurassic, and became extinct in the Cretaceous. Stems of the Benetitales were either barrel-like or relatively short and column-like. The leaves were similar to those of modern cycads. Their most remarkable feature was a flower-like reproductive structure. But fossil evidence makes it clear that these were not true flowers, and the seed was never enclosed in an ovary. Now, let's look at the largest of all classes of gymnosperms, the conifers. All conifers are shrubs or trees, most with a single dominant axis, so characteristic of the small pines, firs, Douglas firs, and spruces used as Christmas trees. In size, they range from modest shrubs to the giant redwoods, 100 meters tall and 3,000 to 4,000 years old. The leaves are commonly needle-like or scale-like in form. All conifer leaves, despite the small size in many species, have well-developed vascular tissue. Cones are the most common reproductive structure, but they may be highly modified from the typical form and may even be fleshy, as in the junipers. The female cones are larger and more long-lived than the male. All conifers are wind-pollinated. Instead of attempting to catalog all the various features of the many conifers, let's concentrate on an important and familiar genus, Pinus, the pines. This genus is one of the 10 genera of the family Pinaceae. In general, the pines have strong apical dominance, producing a single main trunk. The trunk of a pine is predominantly secondary xylem, composed of regularly arranged tracheids with bordered pits. Rays of living parenchyma cells are oriented at right angles to the tracheids. Because the secondary xylem is composed predominantly of tracheids, the wood obtained from pines and other conifers has an even, uniform grain. Conifer wood is ideal for construction, but less used in expensive furniture because it lacks the interest of the more complex angiosperm woods. The growth characteristics of conifer trees also makes them well suited to sawing the trunks into lumber. As virgin forests are logged, it's important that reforestation programs provide new trees for the future. Considerable research is now going on in tree genetics in attempts to breed fast-growing trees with desirable features. The anatomically simple nature of conifer xylem also makes it ideal for the manufacture of paper. The great bulk of all paper is made from conifers. The xylem contains resin ducts lined with parenchyma cells and which accumulate resins. Many gymnosperms, not only the pines, normally produce resin, increasing production when the plant is wounded. Amber is fossil resin from both gymnosperms and angiosperms, and large deposits are found along the Baltic. Insects trapped in the fresh resin are beautifully preserved in the amber for thousands of years. The cork cambium is highly active, producing the thick, characteristically patterned barks of the pines. The thick bark is ecologically important in reducing fire damage in old trees, preventing insect, fungal, and bacterial infection, and reducing water loss. The outer cells of the bark have highly suberized walls and contain tannins and other phenolic compounds. The leaves of pines are all needle-like in shape. They grow in groups of 1, 2, 3, or 5 at the apex of short shoots sprouting from the long shoots or branches. The needle has 1 or 2 vascular bundles occupying the center. The xylem and phloem are surrounded by the transfusion tissue, which is composed of special transfusion tracheids and parenchymal cells that form a complex, interconnected system in direct contact with the vascular tissue and the surrounding endodermis. The mesophyll is composed of rather tightly packed parenchyma cells with incurving walls. Many of the mesophyll cells become filled with tannins, and the mesophyll also contains resin ducts. The epidermis is thick-walled and heavily cutanized, and overlies one or more layers of thick-walled cells. The guard cells and stomata are sunken. The sunken stomata and other features of the leaves are adaptations to the extremely dry conditions conifers face in winter when water is frozen in the soil and unavailable to the plant. The needles of pines live from 2 to 14 years. They shed when an abscission layer forms at the base of the short shoot that produced them. Because the needles live for more than 1 year, the tree never loses all its leaves at one time. But as anyone who lives around pines knows, a large number of leaves are shed each year. Most pines have an extensive but shallow root system. They can grow in rocky, shallow soils, but may be uprooted by heavy winds. Many pines have fungi that live in their roots in an association known as mycorrhiza. The fungus gets food materials from the pine, and the pine benefits by the increased absorption of minerals and water afforded by the presence of the fungus. Many pines do very poorly in cases where their roots are unable to form mycorrhizal associations. The reproductive cycle of the pines closely follows the pattern given earlier for gymnosperms in general. Both male and female cones are produced by the same tree. The male cones form in clusters at the base of terminal buds. The cones are initiated in late fall. Meiosis occurs in early spring, and pollen is shed in spring. The pollen usually has two small wings or air bladders. Enormous amounts of pollen are produced, and in favorable years, the trees may have a distinct yellow color from the released pollen. After the pollen is released, the small male cones rapidly dry and disintegrate. The female cones form near the ends of the youngest branches. At the time of pollination, the female cones are fairly small and the scales of the cones separated. The pollen falls between the scales and is held by a pollination droplet that draws the pollen through the micropyle. At the time of pollination, the megagametophyte usually is only at the megaspore mother cell stage. The pollen tube and the megagametophyte develop slowly over the year, and 12 to 14 months after pollination, the pollen tube reaches the megagametophyte. Two non-motile sperms form and discharge directly into the egg. One sperm nucleus fuses with the egg nucleus, and the second degenerates in the egg cytoplasm. The first two mitotic divisions of the zygote result in four free nuclei at the end of the zygote, away from the micropyle. Later walls form, and two tiers of cells develop. More divisions and elongation result in long, narrow files of cells. These files may separate longitudinally, and each file forms a separate embryo. Thus, several embryos form from a single zygote, but only one will survive. The mature embryo consists of a root tip, shoot tip, and as many as eight needle-like cotyledons. The embryo is surrounded by the remains, often considerable, of the megagametophyte and a tough seed coat produced by the parent sporophyte. The seeds often have a single wing and are usually shed in the spring, some 2 years after the female cone was initiated. A final period of growth separates the scales and releases the seed. In some cases, the cones open only after being subjected to heat. In this way, fire opens the cone, releasing the seed onto a fertile bed of ash. When the seed germinates, the cotyledons first remain within the seed and absorb the food reserves still in the megagametophyte. Later, the remains of the seed are shed. The cotyledons unfold and carry on photosynthesis. Most pine seedlings require high light intensities for survival. They do well in clearings, old fields, and burnt-over areas, but frequently fail to survive under the canopy of an established forest. Pines are major pioneer species, even tolerating almost bare rock, where the seedlings establish themselves on ledges and in crevices. Now, let's examine a gymnosperm that is considered a living fossil, the ginkgo. It is considered by many to have survived because of human interest in its majesty and beauty. The fascinating fan-shaped leaves have been found as fossils in rocks from the Triassic and Jurassic periods of the Mesozoic era. During these periods, there were a number of ginkgo species worldwide in distribution. These gradually declined in number and range until they were nearly extinct. Ginkgos have long been grown at Chinese temples. It was first thought that they had been saved from extinction by human cultivation, but some have been found in the mountains of southeastern China. The present living species, Ginkgo biloba, which is widely cultivated and able to survive the adverse environmental conditions of cities, has been called the oldest living genus of seed plants. Ginkgo biloba is a tall, stately tree with several gracefully curving branch stems united in a thick basal trunk. The beautiful fan-shaped leaves are borne on distinct, short shoots and are shed each year. In the fall, they turn a striking shade of yellow. The male and female reproductive structures are always produced on separate trees. These structures differ markedly in external form from those of the cycads and conifers. In the female, the ovules are found at the top of a stalk and are essentially naked. The reproductive cycle follows that given for gymnosperms in general. The sperms are large and multiflagellated. The seed becomes surrounded by a fleshy seed coat that unfortunately smells like rancid butter. As a result, female ginkgos are undesirable ornamental plants and only the males are used. The last group of gymnosperms we'll consider, the Nitales, constitute a strange collection of plants. There are only three genera, Ephedra, Welwitschia, and Netum, each its own family and its own order. Ephedra has some 35 species, all of them either shrubs or small trees. Most are desert plants with green stems and reduced scale-like leaves. Welwitschia is also a desert plant, but there is only a single species, and it is found only in the remote Namib and Darmland deserts of southwest Africa. The long, strap-shaped leaves trail over the surface of the desert and are continually produced by the top of a long underground stem. The only part of the stem visible is a woody, concave disc that produces both the leaves and the reproductive structures. In contrast to Welwitschia and Ephedra, Netum is found in the tropical forests. There are some 30 species in this genus, and they are all broad-leaved climbing vines or trees. The Nitales are of interest to botanists because their xylem contains both vessels and tracheids, a prominent angiosperm characteristic. Some of their reproductive features also approach those of the angiosperms. This concludes our examination of the gymnosperms. They form an important part of our present-day flora and have been an important part of the world's flora since the Paleozoic. Some, as the seed ferns, have become extinct. Others, like the cycads, survive, but in fewer numbers and more restricted ranges. But many, like the conifers, continue to be dominant plants in many ecosystems of the world. Many of the gymnosperms are commercially of critical importance to us. All are interesting and fascinating plants, worthy of our respect and interest.